గురుభ్యో నమః హరిః ఓం గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే జ్యేష్ఠరాజం బ్రహ్మణాం శృణ్వన్నోతిభిః సీద సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః సదాశివసమారంభాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం ఆత్మస్వరూప బంధుగణ. ఎనీ బుక్ వుడ్ డూ, బట్ ఇన్ దిస్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ భాష్య, ఇట్ హ్యాపన్స్ టు బి క్వైట్ లెంగ్ది, ఐ హ్యావ్ హైలైటెడ్ ఎ ఫ్యూ పాయింట్స్ టు బి టేకెన్ ఇన్ దిస్ క్లాస్. ఎనీవే, సో యు మే సే శ్రీ భగవానువాచ ఇదం శరీరం కౌంతేయ క్షేత్రమిత్యభిధీయతే ఏతద్యో వేత్తి తం ప్రాహుః క్షేత్రజ్ఞ ఇతి తద్విదః క్షేత్రజ్ఞం చాపి మాం విద్ధి సర్వక్షేత్రేషు భారత క్షేత్రక్షేత్రజ్ఞయోర్జ్ఞానం యత్తజ్ఞానం మతం మమ. దిస్ ఇస్ ది జ్ఞాన. దిస్ టూ వెర్సెస్ ఆర్ స్టడీడ్ టుగెదర్ అండ్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఎ వెరీ ఎలాబొరేట్ భాష్య దట్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ దీస్ వెర్సెస్. అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ది జ్ఞాన, యత్త జ్ఞానం మతం మమ మతం ఇన్ మై ఒపీనియన్. సో శ్రీకృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ మై ఒపీనియన్ దిస్ ఈస్ ది జ్ఞానం, వెరీ పొలైట్ వే ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ ఐ లుక్ అట్ ఇట్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ అప్ టు యూ, నథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఇంపోజ్డ్. యూ నీడ్ నాట్ ఫాలో a person, even if that person happens to be Shri Krishna. So that is how I see it. Therefore, you also see, because this is a tattva vichara. Tattvam, the reality, which happens to be yourself, it cannot be a matter for belief, or it cannot be a matter for propaganda. Propaganda is not the truth. Therefore, this is how I see it. మమ మతం మమ జ్ఞాతం మను అవబోధనే, దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ ఐ సీ ఇట్, దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ ఐ నో ఇట్. అండ్ సో యూ హ్యావ్ టు మేక్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ అండ్ ట్రై టు సీ ది వే ఐ సీ. దిస్ ఈజ్ ది జ్ఞానం, బికాజ్ ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్ దేర్ ఆర్ మెనీ థింగ్స్ విచ్ గో బై ది నేమ్ జ్ఞానం. జ్ఞానం మీన్స్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఎట్ వన్ టైమ్ the very routine things of the life, like my wife, my son, my husband, these are not considered jnanam. These are part of life. And so I like this person, I don't like that person. How can you call it jnanam? So all that is not jnanam. So they, poor people, they used to think that tarka, vyakarana, mimamsa, they are the jnanam. But now in Facebook and MySpace and your YouTube, etc., this is the jnanam. జ్ఞానం, దిస్ ఈజ్ ఆల్ కాల్డ్ జ్ఞానం. ఆల్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ ఈజ్ పెరేడెడ్ యాజ్ అ జ్ఞానం. హౌ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ కెన్ బి జ్ఞానం? రైల్వే టైం టేబుల్, ఈజ్ ఇట్ జ్ఞానం? సపోజ్ యూ లైక్ సమ్ పర్సన్ ఫర్ వాట్ హీ సెడ్ అండ్ సో యూ పుట్ ఇట్ ఆన్ ఎ బ్లాగ్, ఈజ్ దట్ జ్ఞానం? అండ్ సో సంబడి సేస్ సంథింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ ప్లేస్, హీ నీడ్ నాట్ సే దాట్ and he says it, and 1,000 people give their opinion. All of that is sitting there, electronic footprint. Now you cannot erase it, it will be there permanently. It will be sitting, you cannot erase it. So you sneeze electronically, you cannot erase it anymore. So all of that is called jnanam. A stage has come, Microsoft will decide what is jnanam. Windows. So all that is not jnanam. This is all samsara. It is all our imagination, our concepts and our ideas, notions, images, they are not jnanam. Jnanam is yatta jnanam matam mama. This is jnanam. This is means not what is written in the book. That is not what he is saying. Book is only a means. It's a stepping stone. You know your being. You know the secret of life. That is jnana. In fact, you see the secret of life. What is life and what is death? When I say I am, that sense of existence, what is its depth and what is its width? Is it just that sense of existence is obvious? And just is it limited to the skin only, up to that only? That is its volume. The volume of the body is the volume of the existence that I call I am. Is it so? So, that is jnana. Yasmin jnate sarvamidam jnatam bhavati. By knowing which, everything else is known in effect. So that alone is a jnanam. Everything else, there is a name for it. Everything else is a nescience, ajnan, avidya. Avidya yacha vidyeti jnata, Kathopanishad. Everything else is avidya. Kathopanishad says it is all avidya. If you want to be more generous, Mundakopanishad says it is all aparavidya. A more generous way of saying it. Every Upanishad has its own approach. Though finally they all arrive at the same truth, but every Upanishad has its own scheme. Therefore, this is the jnanam. Yatta jnanam matam mama. What is the jnanam? Generally, general tendency, jnanam means atma jnanam. And atma jnanam means what? Atma is such and such. That is atma jnanam. No. That is not atma jnanam. And if atma is understood as such and such, so what you are talking about is not atma, it is anatma. Your conception of atma, which is not atma. Therefore, jnanam is, in the context of yatta jnanam matam mama, jnanam is viveka jnana. And also, jnanam is yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yogena sankhyanam. So it's a yoga. Yoga means communion. Also it means of communion. Yogaha upayaha. So communion is yoga. And the upaya, the means, the effort, the sadhana that helps you to commune, that is yoga. So that is how the word is understood. Jnana yogena sankhyanam. Yoga is upaya. So atma jnanam, the realization of the self, is not upaya. It is upaya. It is the goal. Therefore, when we say jnana yogena sankhyanam, sankhya is a devotee, I mean, is a striver. He is trying to commune with the reality. That is the sankhya. And for him, the upaya, the means, is not the realization of the self. Therefore, when we say jnana yogena sankhyanam, it is not atma jnana yoga. It is viveka jnana yoga. So, you start where you are. You live in a plurality, and that is where you are. Look at this plurality and analyze it and understand it. And know in this plurality that is experienced, know which is self and which is not the self. That is the viveka jnana. Atma anatma viveka jnana. That is the jnana yoga. Therefore, wherever you see jnana, I mean, in the context of yoga, that means viveka jnana, the knowledge of discernment. That is the jnana. Therefore, kshetra kshetra jnayoho jnanam, yatta jnanam matam mama. The jnanam of kshetra and kshetrajna, that means viveka jnana of between kshetra and kshetrajna, of kshetra and kshetrajna, what could be the jnana? So the jnana is, you do not mix up one with the other. Know the kshetra as a kshetra and extricate this kshetrajna, which is embedded in Kshetra. Kshetrajna is lost in Kshetra. It is mixed up with the Kshetra. It is Mithunikaranam. Shankara beautifully describes it in Adhyasa Bhashya. It is a Mithunikaranam. Means you made a kichdi or a combination of Kshetra and Kshetrajna, in which Kshetrajna is the Satyam and Kshetra is Anurutam, Mithya, unreal, and so you make a mixture of real and unreal. And when you do that, so real is lost in the unreal because of this Mithunikaranam, and the unreal parades as the real. So this unfortunate situation has to be set right. And so for that, you should do the Viveka. So discern the real from the unreal. So first you start the process of discernment, Viveka Prakriya. Then eventually, when Viveka gets well settled in you, that leads to Vairagya, Viveka and Vairagya, and eventually that leads to Shamadamadi, and you will realize yourself as the truth. So, therefore, the starting point is the Viveka Jnana, the knowledge of discernment of Kshetra and Kshetrajna. It is not Tila Tandulavad Vivekaha. This Viveka is not like Tila and Tandula. In Tila and Tandula, both are real. And Tila is the black seeds, so oil seeds, which are black in color. And Tandula is the grain, which is white. So, the person purchases both, each 1 kg in the market. And they are contained in paper bags, you know. India, it happens all the time, paper bags. And so, by the time they are put in your bag, in your cloth bag, and bring home, so the bags, they break up, and both are mixed. So now what you do, put them in a plate, and separate. The tandulas on one side, tila on the other side. Tandula will go for rice, cooking rice, and tila will be used in some other way. Tila is the seeds, oil seeds. So this is called Tila Tandula Viveka. Here, when we are doing Kshetra Kshetrajna Viveka, it is not Tila Tandula Viveka. Because it is the basic distinction between Vedanta and Sankhya. Sankhya means Kapila Sankhya. So, that in Kapila Sankhya, so both Kshetra and Kshetrajna are real. And they are dualists, which means pluralists. Plurality is the truth. That is how they look at it. We do not look at it like that. We are not talking of Satya Satya Mithunikaranam. We are talking of Satya Anuruta Mithunikaranam. So, this is Kshetra and Kshetrajna. One is the truth and the other is a superimposition. It is not real. It is a Brahma. It is a Adhyasa. Adhyasaha Brahmaha. They are synonyms. Therefore, it is an adhyasa. So, the existence of the body is superimposed on I am. So much so, I am is taken as equivalent to the existence of the body. That is how I was born and I am going to die. This is the adhyasa. The fact is, you are neither born nor you are going to die. Therefore, this calamitous mistake has to be set right. How? Understanding. You have to learn to see the truth. How to see the truth? There is nothing like seeing the truth. You are not going to see the truth. You can only be the truth. So, you are not going to see the truth. Standing apart from the truth, to see the truth, it is not going to happen. So, you can only be the truth. Then what is to know? How to know? You have to see the untruth as untruth. You have to see the false as false. To see the false as false, to say the false is false, you need courage. Dhira. The courage born out of that understanding, seeing things clearly, you need courage. Otherwise, when false is called false, so people who are devoted to the false, they get disturbed. So you need, that's why we use the word in Vedanta all the time, dhiraha, all the time. Dhiraha, courageous people. Kaschid dhiraha, courageous person. So that courage is very much called for. So kshetra kshetra jnayor jnanam. So I am supposed to start at the beginning of the two verses, but I started at the end. In the last class I started in the beginning. Now this class I started at the end. This is the jnana. You pay attention to this jnana, kshetra and kshetrajna. You pay attention to that. You concern yourself with kshetra and kshetrajna. Then, whatever is the truth about kshetra and kshetrajna, that viveka, that discrimination, you pay attention to that. The growth consists of growing into that discrimination. A stage comes when you really grow, then you grow into that discrimination between kshetra and kshetrajna. As the discrimination is well settled in the heart, then you are the Atma already. There is nothing more to be done about it. All the obstacles for realizing one's true self get dispelled, and you are the true self. That is called Jivan Mukti. And that is the ultimate goal. Before that, I personally believe that even to lead a sane life, the life that we lead is not sane. The type of desires that we pursue and the types of efforts that we make to fulfill those desires, there is no sanity in any of that. You give me the license to speak like that. So I am talking about the whole world. I am not saying anything about you people sitting here. So generally we say like that. Because if the world is real and if the worldly actions are real and if the worldly desires are real, you don't need any Vedanta. You better spend your time more in the world only. So one needs to grow into it. So kshetra and kshetrajna, that viveka, that discrimination, that is the goal. Kshetra, kshetrajna, your jnanam. That is not easy. This is what I was saying. Leave alone jivan muktavastha, the highest state of enlightenment, leave alone that, even to lead a meaningful or sane life, because the world is not kind to anybody, you cannot have things the way you desire or like in this world, that is just ruled out. So that is just not there. Even my own kith and kin do not do what I want them to do. If I expect something from the kith and kin, I stand to be bitterly disappointed. And if I expect the body, my own body, which I cater, which I serve from childhood, and I pamper it, I feed it, I clothe it, and I clean it, and I pamper it with all kinds of sensations and pleasures, that body pays me back in a very unkind way. Therefore, the world is not pleasant to anybody. Sarvam dukkham, as Bhagavan Buddha says. So, this body, if you identify with it, it will make you suffer to no end. So, sir, take care. Look at the body. Stop identifying. Try to know what is the body and what is your equation with the body. Where do you stand vis-a-vis the body? You settle that. So, Atma will wait. No problem. But settle this equation first. Settle this issue first. Then what about mind? What about your mind? You think that the problems of life emanate from outside world or from high skies. No? All the problems that you face in life, every one of them, including the present day, the present hour, present moment problem, is a direct output of this machine called mind. It is the tormentor sitting inside. And so, what is this mind? You have to know. You have to create a space with reference to the mind. You are not the mind. You are grievously mistaken when you think that you are the mind. You are not the mind. You cannot even really say it is my mind. You can only look at it in a very uninvolved way and say, oh, this is the mind. Then you are okay. You are doing fine. You are reasonably safe. But if you say my mind or me the mind, and then start assuming the states of the mind, of pleasure and pain upon yourself. Manaha dukkhi, dukkhi. Therefore, aham dukkhi. Manaha sukhi. Napumsakalinga, therefore sukhi, rasvam. Therefore, aham sukhi. If that is the way you look at mind, if that is the way we are accustomed to take things, you are making a big mistake. You are not the mind. You see, body is doing. It is alive, you know. Therefore it is doing, all doing. Mind is thinking. Whereas, you have to understand, this is the fundamental viveka of the kshetra and kshetrajna. You are neither the doing nor the thinking. The samsara in which individuals find themselves is the nothing but the confusion between the being and the doing. And then the being and the thinking. You assume that doing determines you, doing defines you. Doing. Doing means what? Performing various actions in this world. In this world only you can perform. That is the arena. And some of those actions are secular. Means corresponding to the world. Some of the actions are religious. And so the doing defines me. So some of the actions that I do, they build a career for me. And some other actions that I do, they will take care of the life after death. The afterlife they will take care. The religious actions, they will take care of the afterlife. So this is how I am a worldly person in terms of the doing of the things of the world, and I am a religious person in terms of doing the religious rituals, etc. Therefore, doing defines and determines myself. This is the ignorance. Doing doesn't define you, and doing doesn't determine you what you are. So, when a question is asked, what are you? If you try to answer it in terms of doing, then you are mistaken. You are doing that is the adhyasa. You are in trouble, because that is called samsara. That is the karma bandha. And then there is a unfortunate horrifying confusion that the being and thinking. So you have a particular pattern of thinking, means what? A set of emotions, a set of ideas, notions, images, concepts. That is all what thinking apparatus is. And so that thinking, it generates emotions and ideas, etc., the entire list which I say quite often, that list, that action called thinking, very subtle action it is. So that thinking, it doesn't define you, it doesn't determine you. You are not the thinking. Thinking doesn't define and determine you. Thinking defines and determines a persona, an ego, and you are not that ego. That ego is a shadow. You are not that shadow. Therefore, so the doing and the thinking together constitute kshetra. And you are not the kshetra. You are the kshetrajna. Kshetra, you should look at kshetra always as idam, as this. Kshetra is defined as idantakrantam kshetram. That which is ever experienced as this means as the other. That is a kshetra. So I was defining the kshetram under the kshetrajna. So Shankara comes to the word kshetrajna. He says, apadatalamastakam jnanena vishayikaroti. You see, kshetrajna is that light of awareness, that light, which illumines the entire body. So, entire body means, so, beginning with the toes, apadatala, toes are soles, padatala is the soul, souls, both souls. So, we begin there, beginning from the soles of the feet till mastaka, till this. So, this something close to 6 feet, this volume of the body, so this is made an object, vishayikaroti. So, kshetrajna cannot be defined in a specific terms, in a volume. You cannot define kshetrajna. And as a concept, you cannot define kshetrajna. Kshetrajna can be presented only relative to the kshetra. So, satyam can only be appreciated by negating the untruth that is superimposed upon it. This is called tatastha lakshana. So that is how we go about this viveka. Therefore, you have to extricate yourself from this confusion. So, you are what you are, but you are not what the body is. You are what you are. I am what I am. I am not the body. Because body is always the other. I am the light in which the body comes to light. I always look at the body. So now what should we do? We have to look at our situation. What is my situation? My situation is clearly, I take the body to be myself, and then I act on that belief. There is this belief. Belief means it is a misconception. You cannot call it even misconception. It is a mistake or it is an error that is so deeply ingrained in my existence itself. So you can even say it is ingrained to the level of genetic code. That is what is called ajnana. This ajnana is there with us at the level of genes itself. So, because it is the mastishka, the brain, which is functioning and gives us an identity, which is called, some of the philosophers like to present it, a cerebral identity. So, it gives you an identity, the cerebral identity, means, I am so and so. You start with a name. I am Mr. So-and-so. Let me say about myself. I am Swami So-and-so, coming from India. I am born to a set of parents in so-and-so place on so-and-so date. Now I am aged this much. I am a Swami in charge of this institute or that institute. I have a set of students or shishyas with me. So this is the identity which I have. This identity, my God, it is a cerebral identity. It is so far removed from the truth that it is all the way false. That is the cerebral identity. The brain cells, they are genetically engineered to think in those lines. That is how the brain cells are. They are the cheats. They are cheating you. That's why if you do meditation, when you watch the body, the sense of me is very pronounced by the time you come to the head. The sense of me is not so pronounced when you look at the knee caps or the feet. Suppose I say, look at your feet. Feet are the body, kshetra. It is not you. Yeah, I'm quite okay. You are okay with it. Come to the seat. or loins or abdomen. You are not your abdomen, or you are not that part of the body. Oh, is it? I am not so sure about it. Because the kidney is there, very valuable item, then come to the heart, it is even more valuable. I put a insurance and all that to safeguard all these things. Now this guy comes and tells, I am not any of these things. Then why am I having insurance? So you get some issues there. But by the time you come to the head, you see, now you are not your head. Oh no, this is not going to work. We cannot accept this. So the sense of identity, the sense of me, is very powerful at the level of head. You meditate and you see. You first find out the details of ignorance, so that you can unravel it and throw it out. You know the ignorance. You need not know the Atma. You are not going to know the Atma, because you are the Atma. How can you sit on your own shoulders? Therefore, this is the ignorance. The genetic code itself makes us think like that. This is what Bhagavan Buddha means when he says dukkham. At the genetic level itself, ignorance has crept in. And so everything else, what you think and everything else what you do is founded on ignorance. So you have to set that right first. How to go about it? You see, here is a gentleman who doesn't agree when somebody says, you are a human being. He doesn't agree to that. He has some problem. He believes that he is something else. Now, he is given an exercise, a Viveka exercise. You do this meditation. What? I am a human being. I am not so and so. I am not that. I am not that. I am a human being. You do this exercise. How long? So long, which is till when you don't need it anymore. That means when you are so sure that you are a human being, then you need not do that Viveka. For example, we need not do that Viveka, mostly. Sometimes we also need to do that Viveka. Because suppose I think I am a Punjabi, then I have to do some Viveka. I am not a Punjabi, I am a human being. So I need to do that Viveka. Because human being is a very big thing. Because human being, there are no human beings. There are only persons. There are people of caste, creed, race, religion. They are only such people. Human being is very rare to find. Very rare. Because human being means he has already arrived 75% close to the truth. Because he is the being, very big thing it is. He is the being. That is the truth. Now only one attribute is hanging unnecessarily there. What do you mean by human or two-legged, homo sapiens? That is the only problem you have now. You see, one Mahatma used to say, unless you know that you are a human being first and the last, you are not a student of Vedanta. Because in Vedanta, you have to realize that you are all. You are the Brahman, aham brahmasmi. You know what is Brahman? That reality which includes all of this creation. No exceptions. No, except my neighbor, no. Or except my brother-in-law, no. Or except that guy who is a bad guy, no. There is no such thing. Brahman includes your friends and your foes. So the Brahman includes the good as well as the evil, the so-called. And you have to know that you are that Brahman, which is not an easy thing. So you have to cross 7 oceans. Now you falter at the first step of before your home. When will you cross 7 oceans? Therefore, you look at the body as this, idam shariram, this body. You contemplate upon it. You meditate. You continue to meditate. When? Till when? As long as it is needed. as long as that body identification is persisting, it haunts you. As long as you are working on behalf of the body, and as long as you are functioning with an identity given by oneness with the body, so long you need to take corrective steps. As long as the genes are cheating you, you have to counter-cheat the genes. The counter-cheating is idam shariram. That is the counter-cheating. That is not the final truth. Final truth is sarvam kalvidam brahma. But that's why I told you keep it pending. You first settle this job, settle this idam sharira issue. Therefore Shankara says, all of this body, apada talamastakam, vishayi karoti, you make it a this. How? Jnanena. So, with knowledge. Means that awareness, knowingness. Jnanena means not some scriptural knowledge, etc. Not that way. You know, you are aware of the body. I am aware. I know. My nature is knowing. I wake up, and so knowing begins. My nature is knowing. It is like the fragrance of a flower. The flower is fragrant. Similarly, I am the knowing. So you may mistake that knowing is an action. That's why I'm telling knowing is not an action. It is knowingness. That's why I add the ness, knowingness. It is not an action. So thinking is an action. Doing is of course action, but not knowing. And so that shining, the bulb is shining. That is not an action. It is not doing any action. No, it is illuminating all these things. That is not an action. It is not illuminating all these things. All these things are illumined by the light. In the light, they come to light. The bulb is not doing any special action. Similarly, you look means you are aware. Looking is aware. You are aware. And as you are aware, the body comes to light. And so body is the other, or it is that which comes to light in the awareness. So body vishayi karoti. It is the object of my awareness. And it is kshetra. I am the one who is aware of the kshetra. Kshetrajna. What I am, I am. That there is no hurry for it. I am what I am. But in this context, in the context of Viveka, I am aware of the body, which means I am the awareness in which the body shines. So, Shankara says, Svabhavikena, Aupadeshikena va Vedanena. This knowledge, this knowingness, it could be very natural to you, Svabhavikena. You look at your body, already you are knowing your body. And body is an object of your knowing. Just look at your body. Or Aupadeshikena. You may not pay attention. You are objectifying the body all the time. The body is coming to light in your knowing. Suppose you wake up. You never attended a Vedanta class. You wake up from sleep. Then what happens? What is the first thing that happens? You are aware. I am aware. That is what is called waking up. I am aware. So, of what? I am aware of the body. In this world. So body in the world. So that is how I am aware. But following this awareness, the identification happens. First you are aware, then you identify. But the whole thing happens in such a instantaneous way that you don't see the stepwise process there. You are aware and you identify. This is a meditation. When you wake up, you meditate. And first day you will not be able to do it. But you pay attention. And whenever you wake up, every day morning when you wake up, suddenly you remember, okay, you pay attention. So eventually you will realize, first you are awake, which means you are aware. And then you are aware of the body, in the world. And then there is an identification. So once you know, oho, this is how it is happening, then you can stop at that identification. That is all you have to do. So at the level of Viveka, I am aware of the body. Then instant identification becomes delayed identification by sadhana, and then eventually less and less of identification, eventually you do not identify with the body anymore. Just you do not identify. Therefore, becoming aware of the body, for that you don't become a student of Vedanta and then you become aware of the body. It's not like that. Swabhavikena, whether you are a student or not, you are aware of the body. Then you are a student, Aupadeshikena. When you are a student, means you come to the meditation session or you sit in a Vedanta class, then somebody says, look at your body. Then you follow that guided meditation and watch the body. And so, now, in doing so, you are making the body, obviously, the object of your watchfulness, which is the same as knowingness. In doing so, you are snapping that identity. So, you are keeping them separate, so that there is no confusion anymore. So, you do that, you practice it. How long? So long till the genetic identification persists. Eventually, it will yield. Initially, it won't yield. In yoga, this is yoga. Because as you extricate yourself out of this limitedness, that is the limitedness. You are limited because of this identification. Otherwise, you are not limited. You are limited in volume, in space, by identity with the body. And you are limited in time by identity with the mind. Because body is a space and mind is time. And so, you snap that identity, identification, by watchfulness. And so, learn to watch. You have to start it not only with the body-mind, you have to start it and practice it elsewhere also. For example, I watch the flower, I just watch it. I don't do anything. I don't get involved with it. I just watch it. Suppose I say, it is good, but not so good. There is something else which is much better than this. You are already involved. Or you say, oh, it is not a good flower, it is bad. You are involved. So this is how, the moment you look at the thing, the moment you are aware of the thing, the habit is to project. One of the two opposites. The projection, it happens straight away. You look at a person, oh, this guy I know. So you have already decided who is that guy and put him in a pigeon hole with a label attached to it. This is how we function in the world. We don't know how to watch. This is not called watching. Watching means you have to witness without any involvement. You look at the person. Don't project any idea upon the person. Just watch the person. So, then you hear. When you hear, suppose immediately you react, that is the ego. You don't react, you hear and smile as a practice to begin with if necessary. You need not smile afterwards. To begin with, the smile so that it will remind you to remain uninvolved. So philosophers smile it is, just a smile. Some people are having a revelry smile. There is some sadness going on, something happened and they are all crying. A smile. In India, processions go on. So, the traffic gets snarled up. So, we are in the traffic. Then, what is the procession? Some curiosity. Some marriage procession. You smile, okay. Then, some dead body procession is going on. Everything goes on. And the procession means on the road, everything goes on. There is a procession for dead body also. Here it is cars procession, there it is people on the road procession. And so you smile. Smile means what? Not in a very happy way or any such thing. The philosophers smile. Means just not involved, part of life. That is how the world is. So, no involvement. But we don't know how to be uninvolved. You may wonder, this uninvolvement is a callousness. People have their own descriptions, you know, he is very callous. You don't be callous. I am not talking about callousness. You be loving and you be compassionate. Don't confuse one with the other. You don't do it, but I am taking my own precaution. So, we are not talking about callousness or the absence of compassion and all that. One more thing. Once you are attached to a thing, you cannot even love it. You think you love it. Once you are attached to a thing, you don't love it anymore. You stifle it. You don't love it. Therefore, watching things in an uninvolved way, just watch. Don't project anything. Just watch. And then you receive. Somebody says something. People have their own issues. They say something. You receive all of it with a smile. Somebody says, Swamiji, you teach very well. A smile. You need not go and sit on the top of the on the top. Unnecessary. Somebody says, Swamiji, you are not so good. It's okay. Receive it. Don't react. Receive it. It doesn't. You see, you throw color. In Holi, they throw color. You throw color. If it is a wall, it gets colored. Space, you throw color into the space. What will happen to the color? The space doesn't get colored. Be space-like. Just like space. Don't get colored. Because you are not any of these things. You are not the body and you are not the mind. You see, I would like to tell a story in this regard. You see, one Mahatma was teaching Vedanta to students. He was teaching Vedanta. This suddenly I remembered yesterday evening and therefore I remembered now. So, an old woman, she is a good-meaning woman. She is not a bad woman or anything. But for some reason she became angry with this Mahatma, for some silly reason. Something which is not in his hand, for whatever the reason, she was angry. And so in India, she was very old and very innocent, very village-like, very not a very sophisticated person. Sophisticated people show their anger in a very sophisticated way. Whereas this old lady, she is not very sophisticated. She came out of her home. Where is this Swami? Where is this Swami? Hey, did you see the Swami? They told he is taking class to some four or five students there. Oh, he is doing that job again? I will take care. I will teach him a lesson. So she is coming. And she is very impatient. She is shouting, hey Swami, what are you talking? Like that she is abusing him. His name is Vasudeva. Hey Vasudeva, Swami Vasudeva, I will teach a lesson to you. Like that she is coming. Then one of the students told this Mahatma, Mahatmaji, she is abusing you. Then he told, how do you know she is abusing me? She is not abusing me. No, she says Vasudeva. Vasudeva, I am the only Vasudeva in this world. There are many other Vasudevas. She is not abusing me. Then she came near. Swami, Mahatmaji, she is showing the finger at you. No, finger if you show like that, I am the only person in this direction, there are many others. She is not showing at me. Then she come near, Swamiji, she is really abusing you. No, you don't know, she is not abusing me. She is, whatever she is doing, she is not abusing me. Then she heard that. By now she came very close. She heard that. Are, am I not abusing you? What are you talking? I am abusing you only. What are you talking? Are you deaf or blind? By this time she came very close. I am abusing you. She told, no, you are not abusing me. Then whom am I abusing, Ray? Ray means a kind of disrespect. You are abusing the Annamaya. You are not abusing me. Then she was a bit surprised. What is this Annamaya? Annam we eat, that only? Yeah, that only. How am I abusing Annam? Yeah, whatever Annam that people give, you also gave. I ate it and that is this body. You are abusing Annamaya, food body. Then what are you? You are not this body. No, I am not this body. Not only I am not this body, you are also not that body. Are Swami, then who am I? You come and sit in the class. I will tell you who I am. So be like that. You need not react or anything. So people put a garland in your neck. It's okay, you smile. Somebody, Swami Vivekananda said in his song of the sannyasi, somebody may kick you. Take it with the equanimity. Doesn't matter. Nobody kicks you. They kick the Annamaya. They don't kick you. I am not the body. I am not the Kshetra. then what I am? I am what I am. I can only tell you, or I will only tell you what I am not. Firstly, I am not the body. So, then you may, I love to say this also, because of love only. This is all labor of love. Don't think anything otherwise. It's a labor of love. Because people suffer. And they suffer because of the identity with the body and also due to total lack of space with the mind. That's why they suffer. There is pain, back pain, head pain, some other pain, some other pain. So much insecurity. An entire nation is insecure. It is an existence of insecurity. There is a book, some gentleman wrote a book, Anxiety of Insecurity or some such book. So one philosopher wrote. It is all insecurity. And all this insecurity that we have in our lives, so much insecurity. We make a home, because without a home we are insecure. We make a family, because without family we are insecure. And we make a lot of money and put some load of money in the bank balance. Even a Swami like me has a bank account, and if the bank account is very weak, very lean, I become insecure. Whereas if the bank account is having some fat figure there, then I think I gain security from that. Still continue to be insecure. So, this is how we are very insecure. Human being is very insecure. And this insecurity is the direct result of identification with the body. As long as you identify with the body, you are not secure anymore. There is no security in this creation. The security comes from a non-identification. How do you know that there is non-identification? There is a kind of generous indifference towards the body. Indifference. It is not going to be perfect. If you have to take care of this body, you can never do that. Because, you see, you all know very well, suppose you have to, do check-up. Check-up what? Check-up what? I have to check up the soles, the toes, and the knees, and the legs, the calf muscles, and the thigh bones, and then liver, everything I have to check up. The blessed thing, there are so many things to be checked up. I have to sit in the hospital only all the 24 hours for 6 months. By then the check-up is complete. One check-up is complete. Then the second round already begins. This is like going to the dentist. Suppose Yamadharma Raja comes. Then we have to say, you just wait, my dental appointment, I will finish and I will come. This is a dental appointment, the Shmishana comes earlier, but this never ends. The body is like that. You can never make it perfect. It is disintegrating. It is dying every minute, every second it is dying. The only way to become secure, the only way to become free from this bondage is, one has to die to the body. I just die to the body so that I can live in truth. Unless one dies to the world and dies to the body, he cannot know the truth. Don't worry about the world. You can never know the world by being in the world. You can know the world only by dissociating from the world. That is the law. That is the truth. People think that by entering into the world, they will know the world. They will not know the world. They get consumed by the world. You dissociate from the world, stand apart, then you can know what is all going on, the tamasha. You can know. And you can see the folly of that tamasha also. And you can remain with a smile. That is how you have to know the world, not by going into it. When it comes to Ishvara, keep Ishvara at a safe distance, you will never know Ishvara. You know Ishvara by merging yourself into Ishvara. You know the world by taking you away from the world. That is how you have to know. Therefore, that Viveka, what all I said is related to Viveka with reference to the body. Vibhagashaha, Vishayi Karoti Vibhagashaha, Tam Veditaram, Shankara. Vibhagashaha. So, you do that, you do meditate. This is how the meditation is created, Viveka meditation. You see, look at the body, part by part you see, okay, now I watch the knees, or the foot, the knees, the leg, the hands, the chest. So I watch part by part, vibhagashaha. So that means it is the conglomerate of all these items, the five elements, it's the conglomerate. Then you watch the mind also, vibhagashaha. You watch the sense organs and the organs of action and the emotions, you watch the emotions. You watch the intellect, you watch the ego. Up to that you watch. You have to watch the ego also, because you are not the ego. You watch it, you are not the ego. One gentleman told me, Swamiji, at one time I used to be very egoic, ahankara. But nowadays my ahankara has come down. So what is he now? What is he? He is not the ahankara anymore. He did not come down, he remained intact, you know. It is the ahankara which came down. So ego has an intensity, and then it becomes very weak. All these things you can experience. So you are not the ego. Up to that, vibhagashaha, you have to watch. As you watch, you develop this space. So vibhagashaha veditaram kshetrajnyam kathayanti. So this is how you have to practice the discrimination, viveka. So in doing so, kshetrajnyam chapi mam vid, that is the next step. This is the first step. First step is you have to extricate yourself from the kshetra. You are embedded, you are the infinite. And you are embedded in the finite. Finite desha, that is the body. I told her, but I am saying again. Finite kala, that is the mind. You have to extricate yourself out of it. That is the first step. Once you have extricated as the kshetrajna, and that you have to prove to yourself, means you should be able to say, I am not the body, I do not act on behalf of the body, I am indifferent to the body. That doesn't mean you have to punish the body. No. You neither punish it nor pamper it. You just manage it. Same is the case with mind. So once you extricate yourself from the body and mind, get established in viveka firmly, then the next quantum leap, kshetrajnyam chapi mam viddhi, you will come to realize that you are the infinite. That kshetrajna, that awareness pure, which is aware of the body-mind, even while being aware of the body-mind, doesn't identify with the body-mind. That awareful being is not limited in space because it is not the body, not limited in time because it is not the mind. It is not a thing among many things. And so that awareful being is the infinite. That is aham, kshetrajnyam chapi mam viddhi. You will come to realize that truth. Therefore, you have to begin with the body and the embodied. They are not of the same order of reality. They are not of the same order of reality. The body exists in time and space. The body is transient and limited. Whereas the indweller, the kshetrajna, the knower of the body is timeless, spaceless, eternal, all-pervading. And to identify the two, to identify the kshetra and kshetrajna, is the grievous mistake that we do. And because of this mistake alone, there is an endless suffering in our life. And therefore, practice of this discrimination, by practicing meditation arduously, one will come out of this mistake and he will be liberated very soon. We'll complete this verse in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Guru Chodhaha Harihi Om Tatsa Purnasya.